Today's December 11th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $101,477.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
So I've got to ask this first off, Rick. Did you freeze yesterday?
I felt like I was pretty close to, but not quite.
That wind was cutting like a knife, man.
Well, when you go up to the top of the mesa where I work at, yeah, it was pretty brutal.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, no, and that's why, like, up there, you have no protection, no blocking that wind. It was cold, cold wind.
Nope, and it had that little bit of humidity. If you were in a kind of a jacket, it would just eat through it like nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was chilly, but you know, what warmed my heart is the price of Bitcoin. Although yesterday that wasn't so much true.
No, I felt like kind of that same kind of pain hitting your bones.
So. First off, we got to go ahead. Let's talk about our theoreticals. Where are we at?
Okay. So, theoretical, we were doing great. We just crossed. We literally recorded as Bitcoin crossed 100,000 last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had that dive down to about 94-ish territory. But now we're back. We're back above 100. So, 101,000. 477, the first theoretical buy back in October 2023. It's been a little over a year. You put 3,000 in, you got 0.0885 Bitcoin. That purchase is now 89.81, almost three times what you would have invested.
That is so crazy.
No, it's spectacular. Not too many investments will do that, but Bitcoin will do that.
Yeah.
If you time it right. Second investment was at the theoretical purchase of $1,000 right at the halving, which is back in April. That $1,000 was kind of trading sideways and down for quite a while. But that $1,000 today at 101,000 bit, price is $1,587. So you still gain 50% from April.
Yep.
Not too shabby.
That's not too shabby at all. 50% return is pretty damn good. Yeah, it's been kind of nuts. There's been a lot of chop in the market when we look at this. There was not long after we'd kind of crossed that threshold when we were doing that last episode, we went up to almost 104,000 and then we had a crash, a kind of a flash crash that went down to 92,000. And then it almost immediately bounced back up to 95. And then we've been kind of range bound, kind of within a pretty wild spread. Like, I think there's a lot of people that are still selling at the $100,000 mark or right in that range. But you know, it's kind of tough to say. We were looking at the ETF flows before we got going and it looks like there's been a buying spree, even at this level.
Yep.
The ETFs are just buying.
Yes. I mean, ever since, especially since after Thanksgiving, it's looking like a buying spree outside of Grayscale. Grayscale is always selling, but I wonder how much they still have left.
They've got to be getting blood dry. I mean, I know that they were stacking sats for a long time, but it's like, man, how long can they keep up that punishment? Go ahead.
Every time I think they're going to run out, they keep selling. So I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's being bought up. So, I mean, I guess I don't care one way or the other, but it is so nuts to me to see those outflows. We were talking about that before. And right now, you know, they're sitting on $20 billion of Bitcoin that is outflowed from their investment from that Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, which has been slurped up and then some by, you know, iBit and Fidelity and, yeah, they've been purchasing on the ETFs like crazy. But we also had some CPI news that came out today. We were kind of talking roughly about this before, and those that have been listening to the podcast for any amount of time, you know, we always talk about the CPI number and how it's kind of a really cooked number anyways. And what we saw in September, we hit the low of 2.4, and then we've seen consistent increases since then.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, we think it's cooked. It's kind of interesting to see this month coming out to, what was it, 3.7?
2.7 inflation for the CPI, and then core inflation is still 3.3.
Yeah, that's... See, I still don't understand how they're able to get away with that.
Yeah.
That's all mathematical trickery, as far as I'm concerned. But it's going to be interesting next month. A month from now, it's still going to be part of the current administration. I wonder if the handoff month, you know, for January numbers, they're going to be a little bit more accurate for sake of, I wouldn't say lying, but they're going to just try and tell the truth, and they're going to pull them back for the next administration after that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens for January's numbers.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, because they're going to reevaluate the basket again, right? And then all of a sudden, do you think we'll see a major spike because of that?
Yes. I think there's going to be a spike, and they're going, oh, we're not as bad, and they're going to cook the numbers in their own way.
Yeah.
I think, these numbers are political, and we got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. No, and that's absolutely true. And I think even Jerome Powell has said that if Trump requested him to step down, he wouldn't even step down. So, I mean, that tells you a lot right there. Like, if the president asks you to vacate your position... and you don't, like, I mean, that tells you, like, the government has no control over the Fed.
Well, it's kind of funny, too, is because Trump is the one who appointed Powell back in 2016, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. And
yeah,
Powell says he's going to finish out his term. And one of the other things we had talked about, I think it was Adkins for the SEC. I don't know if that's the proper name. But since that time, too, we did have David Sacks was announced as the crypto and AI czar for Trump's cabinet. So that's going to go to another Bitcoin person there. So that's exciting.
Well, I tell you what, the altcoins are going to do well.
Yeah.
With, you know, at least for a little while.
Well, something that I was listening to the other day that I thought was kind of interesting, and I think it's very true, is that Trump really, and most presidents do this, but Trump really based how well the economy was doing by how well the stock market was doing. So I think what he's going to get to do this time is he's going to say how well the economy is doing by not only how well the stock market's doing, but how well the crypto market's doing.
Yeah, I think he's going to take credit for that. Yeah. And,
He kind of already did. I don't know if you saw the tweet whenever Bitcoin crossed 100,000. He said, "You're welcome."
Well, here's the deal. If it would have gone the other way, I don't think we'd be quite to that level just yet.
Yeah. No,
it would happen eventually. But with the Democrats and basically Joe Biden, his administration, they were definitely trying to throttle Bitcoin.
Yeah, and actually,
in certain articles,
you sent me an article earlier today. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? It was the choke point 2.0, I believe, is what it was referencing.
Well, yeah. So, one of the most important podcasts I think that people could listen to right now is Joe Rogan's podcast with Mark Andreessen, and he talked about some of the Operation Choke Point 2.0, where they were debanking different tech startup founders for different things. And Fox News put out a report today talking about some of the people that have been debanked since that time. And it's really fascinating to see it beforehand with Mark Andreessen and then today with Fox News confirming that.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the big things that always stands out in my mind, and I think it's mentioned in that report that you sent me the article on, was Silvergate.
Yes.
And we talked about that whenever it happened, like, because of that was kind of around the time that
Bitcoin, it was the Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah. Bitcoin showed issue. A lot of resilience all of a sudden.
Yes.
I think we went up from almost $16,000 to $30,000 during that time.
We'll call it 20 to 30, but it was at least a 50% increase, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a pretty major boon. So it was one of those things where Bitcoin showed why Bitcoin's important. And I think people forget about that. So many times we've seen where, well, Bitcoin only went up to, you know, 69,000 or whatever because the money printers were turned on and all this stuff. You know, Bitcoin is at 101,000. And I mean, yeah, money printers are going, but it's not the same way that it was. There's not that liquidity getting pumped into the system like there was during the COVID crisis. And, you know, interest rates are high and inflation is high and Bitcoin is still $100,000.
Yep.
It's the little engine that could. So, yeah, I think if you get a chance, you should tweet out that article. I think anybody that follows you on Twitter, that might be worthwhile checking out. So, yeah, CPI, still cooked numbers. I mean, when you the funny thing, they talk about the core CPI or the CPI at 2.7. We're still looking at, you know, minus food and energy, which are major ones. It's sitting at 3.3. So, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, all I can tell you is, like, food. I mean, I have a family with four kids, so it's not a small family.
Yeah.
It's kind of on the cusp of a big one. But costs have risen by more than 20, 30, 40%. I would put it more closer to 40% since the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's been pretty insane.
No, it has been nuts.
When they're claiming that interest rates only like 2% per year, you got to call BS where you see that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you got to remember that's only a 2% increase over what it was a year ago, which, and I can't remember exactly what the number is now, but we already had a 9%, like inflation at 9%, right? So it's like, well, we saw a 9% increase and we saw like a 6% increase last year. And now it's only 2%. Well, it's 2% of that 15% that we've already seen the increase on or whatever it is.
Exactly. Just the 2% increase on a 15% increase is pretty bad.
Yeah.
From what you looked at before that.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know we've talked about this. Like once upon a time, we had 24-hour Walmarts and you could go buy junior bacon cheeseburgers for 99 cents. We had it all, man.
Yep. We were poor, but we could afford to live.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine being that same age making that same kind of money in today's market.
No.
It's just unlivable.
It is unlivable. Yeah. And that's a whole nother conversation. One of the other things that happened yesterday, I think that kind of countered that price that we saw kind of collapse, was Microsoft had a proposal to invest, I think it was 1% of their treasury reserves into Bitcoin, and it failed miserably from what I understand.
Yep.
I saw
a report. It didn't look like Michael Saylor's speech did a whole lot for that.
No, I saw a report saying that only 0.55% voted for allocating that 1%. And 1% is nothing. Like, I can't believe that they didn't jump on that. Like, why not? I do hope that, you know, it's one of those things that they, in hindsight, is a huge mistake for them. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I thought it was a pretty major mistake, but, you know, we were kind of talking about that before with the reduction that we saw in price, kind of based off that news. Cause it was once that news kind of started happening is where we saw that price dip start to happen. And that could have been a buy the rumor, sell the news kind of event. But what we talked about, like 108,000 is what it looks like the move would have been.
if it went positive.
Yeah, if it had been voted for in a positive manner. But right on the heels of that, though, too, we've got Amazon talking about putting 5% of their assets into Bitcoin.
And that's another thing. I mean, Amazon's another one of those huge companies, and if they go for it, that would be huge. If not, it's not a huge deal either way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to Bitcoin's going to do what Bitcoin's going to do.
Yep.
Bitcoin's, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Bitcoin, the game theory is when corporations and large nation states start jumping on board, that's when it grows exponentially.
Yeah.
And it feels like we're on the cusp of that. But if you're a nation state, you're not going to advertise that you're buying Bitcoin yet.
No.
So, I mean, as far as nation states go, El Salvador is the first to jump on it. And that was like a small economy. But it, when it becomes the first world nation states jumping on this, that's when it's going to really, I mean, the rocket ship's really going to engage at that point.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw something the other day, and I know we didn't talk about this before we started recording, but the IMF actually requested El Salvador, I guess, the IMF was looking at loaning El Salvador $1.5 billion, and they said that they needed them to change some of their wording on the Bitcoin law that they have in place in order for them to qualify for the funds. I really hope Nayib Bukele tells them to shove it.
I actually really expect him to tell them to screw off, because they announced their Bitcoin plan right before the peak of 2021, roughly, like October 2021, before the price peaked in at 69. And they wrote it all the way down, and they're writing it back up again in this new cycle. I see no reason for them to capitulate to anything that the IMF says.
But I'm curious. So this article here, this is 2 days ago. It says, El Salvador will reportedly dial back its Bitcoin ambitions to secure a loan from the IMF. El Salvador may pull back on the mandate requiring businesses to accept Bitcoin as payment. Sources expect this could unlock a $1.3 billion IMF loan. So that's basically it, is that they want... The IMF is requesting El Salvador remove the mandatory acceptance of Bitcoin as payment in the country before they'll loan them the money.
You know, I just don't see that as being a reasonable request.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either. And I don't understand. I mean, because they still accept the U.S. dollar and Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see. I want to hear what Nayib Bukele's response is going to be on that. I haven't seen anything from him directly on it yet. But, yeah, kind of interesting to see that the IMF is kind of rearing its head again. I really do hope that El Salvador could do something without it. But I don't know what they're in financially. It seems like they'd probably be doing pretty good, especially because of the Bitcoin that they do have.
Yeah.
And they're still buying, I think, every day that as much as they can. So, yeah. Last thing that we have coming up that we wanted to talk about tonight was we still have a Fed rate cut coming up in 7 days.
Uh-huh.
Well, a Fed rate meeting, although more than likely they're proposing that there is going to be a cut. I think 90% of economists are saying 25 basis points, and you think that's accurate, right?
I can't disagree with that. The only option that I see Jerome Powell doing is zero. And I think that's a little bit risky, but I don't see anything higher than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of, I'm with you on that. I do think that we'll probably see, you know, 25 basis points this year, or, you know, one more 25 basis point cut this year. And then, you know, they'll probably have to reevaluate. But I think it's kind of interesting that we have, you know, interest or inflation has gone up the past 2 months in a row, and we're still looking at getting interest rate cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll record again next week by the time that comes out, and hopefully we'll have a little bit better idea of where they stand or in what they've decided. And maybe we'll get a little bit more information out of El Salvador by that time as well.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to bring up this evening?
That's it for me.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to say still, if you're still sitting at zero at Bitcoin, I do think you still have at least, you know, 6 to 8 months of gains ahead of you. Yeah, I mean, we could go into a super cycle. I can't say that we will, that we won't. I'm going to believe that we'll still have a bear market until the market tells me otherwise. But there's a lot of tailwinds right now behind Bitcoin that can really push it high this year. And there's a lot of speculators out there saying, you know, we probably should have been 100,000 whenever the FTX collapse happened. So maybe we're just now getting back to where we should have been with the last bull market.
Yeah. I still think we have somewhere around 200 days of growth.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's going to look like in the next 200 days, but I really do think from previous markets, that's what it looks like we're going to do.
Yeah. And it's not going to be straight up. There is going to be pullbacks, but maybe they'll be tempered more. I don't know. But there still will be days when you will be like, oh my God, is that it? Was that the top? We're not there yet.
No, we're not there yet. I think if you're going to be strategic about this, not financial advice, but if you're going to invest in Bitcoin, if you can look at it where it's at, say June or July 1st, maybe that's the time you pull out.
Yeah.
Because you're going to do well between now and then.
Yeah. And we talked about this, and I know we talked about this. You can't time the tops. You're not going to be able to.
No.
You're going to, I mean, if say it gets up to 220,000 and then Bitcoin goes up to, you know, say it goes up to 260,000. Well, you sell at 220 if you were going to get out and then you buy back in later, right? If you sell at 220, like 260, yeah, you would have made a little bit more money. But that when Bitcoin hits that peak, when it's going to crash back down, it's going to crash back down fast. It's going to crash back down violently.
Yep.
So.
Hey, I'm going to put this out. Theoretical purchases, we're going to cash them out. Say June 1st.
Okay.
Just see what we came out with.
And see what the buyback in would look like?
Yep.
Okay. No, I think that sounds fair. I think that sounds good. Yeah. And then if you do want to do some self-custody, you can. You can buy yourself a Ledger or an Alipal wallet. If you go to our website, which is www.thebitbytepodcast.com, you can buy it directly off of our links there. You're not buying from some shady third-party vendor. You are actually buying directly from the distributor, but it just helps support the podcast and gives us a little bit of a kickback if you go that way, and it doesn't cost you any more. So please look into doing that if you're looking at doing some self-custody, which we always recommend.
Yes.
So thank you, everyone, for listening, and we do hope you all do well.
Yes, indeed.